Congressman Will Hurd is chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Information Technology, and he is introducing and sponsor of the Einstein Act of 2015. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for your time today. What does this act consist of? What would it allow the Homeland Security Department to do that it can't do right now? Thank you for your time, sir.
No, my pleasure. I appreciate you coming on. Einstein 3 is basically an intrusion detection and prevention system that's going to go at the ISP level, at the Internet Service Provider. And so, there's no such thing as a silver bullet when it comes to cybersecurity and protecting digital infrastructure. But what this is going to enable DHS to do is to stop a lot of known bad traffic from even touching, even coming to any IP blocks associated with the federal government.
Is this bill, are the provisions in it prescriptive of how DHS would implement Einstein 3, or does it just give them the authority to implement it as they see fit?
It gives the authority to implement as they see fit, and it directs them to make sure that they're getting the right kind of inputs and selectors from across the federal government. This is going to allow for classified information, information from classified sources to be used in the protection of our networks. And this is a type of technology that is pretty standard when it comes to protecting digital infrastructures, especially in the private sector. And you're seeing it done, already in some agencies at the agency level, but being able to, get out in front, kind of security in depth. You have different layers of protecting our digital infrastructure. I think this is a good step forward. It's a straightforward step forward. This is something that the president has already said he would sign into law, and this is something that Jay Johnson, Department of Homeland Security, is pushing for.
You allude to an issue that's turned out to be a bit of a problem in the wake of the OPM cyber breaches, sir, which is the agencies have had these tools available to them for a while. Some have chosen to be more aggressive about implementing them than others. Does this bill do anything to enhance that, or does it provide any accountability for agencies who decide to be less aggressive about implementing Einstein or any of that, or is it just strictly the authorization for DHS to do this?
Well, it gives authorization for DHS to do this, but this is DHS playing a role in helping all these agencies, right? You're absolutely right. With the OPM hack, we're painfully aware of a number of agencies that have, deficient security parameters around their digital infrastructure. And OPM showed us that, every agency head should be going back to their inspector general reports and their GAO reports on their digital infrastructure and making sure they're implementing it. Tony Scott, the federal CIO, just completed his 60-day sprint, in making sure that pushing the various agencies to do some very basic things like two-factor authentication and such. And I think he had a very successful implementation, and that activity has gone a long way in helping improve the security around our infrastructure.
So you've got a bill here that appears to be non-controversial in the House. President Obama has promised to sign it. So I know it's premature. We never say that anything's a given on Capitol Hill, but this appears to be as close as possible to something like that. What's the next step, then, that you would like to see agencies do to be able to secure the information that they have, Mr. Chairman?
Well, it's something very simple. We all know, we know what the best practices are in having good digital hygiene, and it's making sure those agencies are following through on that. One of the things that we'll be doing at the subcommittee level is bringing in various agency CIOs and agency heads and talking about, have they implemented things like FATARA. FATARA was a bill that was passed in last Congress that empowers the CIOs, the various agencies, to get their house in order, if you will? And are they moving, you know, towards a cloud architecture? Are the CIOs, and the folks within that organization being empowered to do the right things and making sure and holding these folks accountable and using our oversight role to ensure that the implementation of these policies is happening?
Is there a collaborative role or maybe an enhanced communication role that's important, do you think, between the vendors in industry that are serving the federal agencies and the agencies that are trying to implement these improved cyber protections?
I think there absolutely is an increased role. And, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot, I talk about IT procurement a lot. You know, nobody's ever held a rally, you know, for IT procurement. But when the federal government is spending $80 billion a year and 80% of that is on legacy systems, that's outrageous. And these vendors understand that and recognize the problems. And part of it is how we purchase, you know, goods and services in the government. We oftentimes, you know, outline the problem and then outline the solution and then say we want these specific widgets in the solution, which prevents the, you know, a new company or a new way of solving a problem from happening because the request is so detailed and spelled out. That's one thing that we need to change and need to fix so that, you know, we can rely on the talent and entrepreneurship of private sector to solve some of our digital problems in the government.
Congressman Will Hurd is chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Information Technology Subcommittee. And one of the comments I hear about that process on an ongoing basis, especially from vendors and industry, is that the reason that agencies are apprehensive about doing something innovative and the reason that their procurements are so prescriptive is that they're afraid to make a mistake because they're afraid that some of your colleagues on the Hill might come down hard on them. And nobody advocates waste, fraud, and abuse, or making egregious mistakes in government. But there isn't much of a feeling right now on the parts of the executive branch agencies that they really have any margin to make any mistakes when it comes to technology. Is that a fair assumption on their part, and is there something that can be done to help assuage that?
You know, I haven't heard that that argument, and I can see why some of them would say that. But the flip side is, you know, and again, I use OPM as the example. OPM had 5 years worth of inspector general reports saying that there was problems with their digital architecture. Right? That's unacceptable. And you know, it doesn't take additional money to enable two-factor authentication within a network. It doesn't take, you know, millions of dollars to ensure that, you know, the permissions that users on your network make sense. And I think what you're going to start seeing is how can we, you know, members of Congress starting to question, why aren't we adopting, you know, existing technology and leveraging that better in order to become more efficient and drive our costs down. But also, you know, what I'd like to see is that when an agency does realize cost savings and efficiency, they should be able to benefit from that and be able to use that for other things. And that's a much more difficult proposition to try to get done here in Congress and in the government in general. But there should be a reward for having that efficient, streamlined process.
And I imagine that's also dependent on the agency involved, because we've seen the Commissioner John Koskin at the IRS, for example, talk about the problems that he's got with information technology inside his agency. And I have a hard time imagining that if he were to realize cost savings, that he'd be able to keep that money and deploy it in another way.
Well, look, that's the environment in which we operate. But the reality is if that CIO is doing their job, we should empower them, right? And bottom line. And I don't want to necessarily see, you know, if the CIO use, you know, at IRS, you know, saves money within that department that John Koskinen can use it somewhere else. But I think that's something that CIO can be using to address some of the other issues that they may have within their network.
Final thought, I want to go back to FATARA, Mr. Chairman, and I wonder, is there an easy way to put a list of 1, 2, 3 on ways that you will be able to judge at some point in the future that Fatara is successful, or is interpreting that success more art than science?
No, I think there's definitely some hard, you know, some hard facts that you can look and say either you've done it or you've not. You know, how much of your you know, I think it was GAO did a report of the top seven agencies, and that only 2% were implementing cloud architecture in their networks. Right, I'd consider that a fail. Right, you know, does the CIOs have increased budget authority? You know, that is something. Do they have control of their entire organization? And that's not always the case in the federal government. So there are definitely some you know, very clear metrics that can be used to say whether it's successful or not. You know, grading efficiency and effectiveness, you know, I think that's a little bit more art than science. But I think there are some definite hardcore metrics that we can be using to ensure that Fatara is being implemented the way it was written.